an agenda. I don't think it, because it was a little bit late, so I don't think it was reflected in the website. But I'll get to there. But before that, I guess we'll go around the room a little bit just to quickly introduce who you are, so we can have sort of roll call. Shall we maybe start with Siavash?
Okay, I'm Siavash. I'm not a member of this working group. I'm just a guest.
I'm Andrew Sullivan. I'm here, I guess, at the behest of the Variant Issues Project.
Francisco Arias, I can staff.
Nadia Sokolova, I can staff.
Glenda Saint-Géry, I can staff.
Naila Saras, I can staff.
Gabriela Shittick, CCNSO.
Chuck Gomes from VeriSign. I'm really not an active member, but an observer, longtime observer, I guess, of the group.
I'm Dennis Jennings. I'm the consultant project leader of the IDN VIP project.
Kartik Srinivasan, AUDA board.
Marty Drill, also from .au.
My name is Dongman Lee. I'm just an observer.
Jen Zhang from APTLD, also the co-chair from CCSO.
Edmund Chung from DataAsia and co-chair from the GNSO.
Chris Dillon from University College London. I would describe myself as an active observer of the group.
Patrick Feldstrom, chair of ESSAC.
Steve Shin, ICANN staff and support for ESSAC.
And I believe we have a couple on the telephone.
Yes, Daniel Kalchev from register.bg, just joining.
Okay, you might have to speak up a little bit more, but there's one, and we have another one online as well, right? Anyway, so welcome again, and let's get started. So in terms of the working group, I usually had a few slides to talk about the background. I guess with the people convened here, I'll skip through that and jump right into the agenda. But before that, just one thing before that, we in recent couple of meetings, we have been issuing a call out for additional volunteers. I guess we observe that we're hoping that the enthusiasm for the discussion would grow a little bit more. So since then, we have I think a six or so added from from the CCNSO. I think it's still waiting for a confirmation for them to be added to the list, but we're also waiting for additional volunteers from the GNSO. This is currently, we do have quite a lot of people on the mailing list, but a lot of them have been silent participants so far. So one of the things that the group is working on is to try to encourage a little bit more participation, especially on the one of the first things that we want to talk about. Generally, when I talk to people about the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs, we do get a lot of interest, and I think a lot of people, especially from the IDN CCTLDs as well as the new GTLD program, there is a lot of interest, so we hope that we hope to have more participation from the community as we talk about this. And just a quick note on where we have been, what we have been doing in terms of the JIG. An initial report went out on January the 6th this year. And the intent, there is a number of questions there, and the intent is to do to try to stimulate some discussion. The public comment period it will close in March 23rd. That will be sometime next week, I believe. And so right now we're going through that process of public comment and hoping to get some more input. The idea is to currently what went out for public comments was that was a lot of which built on this ESSAC recommendations that came out a few years ago, and we looked into potential policy aspects and different areas where ICANN can play a role in terms of influence on the topic of universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So we identified four main areas: possible policy aspects, organizations which ICANN could work with, areas ICANN could focus its efforts on, and types of work that ICANN should prioritize on. So in terms of the working group plan, we are joining the staff TLD Universal Acceptance Roundtable as a public session in Costa Rica. As I mentioned, the public comments close next week, and we're hoping that we'll come up at least with another document between now and Prague. That's sort of the plans. And just want to let people know the public comments went out, and the comments that we received so far, we had three of them, one of which coming from the registry stakeholder group, which is kind of interesting. We had a fairly extensive number of questions there, but not in a format of a survey. But the comment came back and say maybe a kind of survey is the way to go on some of the issues that we're trying to get feedback from. And ALAC also responded agree with us that even though ICANN, in terms of policy aspect, may not solve this issue, but there are many things that ICANN can do to influence and promote universal acceptance, and that solutions are not always technical. So, and then there was another comment that didn't seem, it seems fairly general and not specifically on it. So this is so what we have received so far. And with that, I wanted to turn it to the Wednesday session. We mentioned a public session that is joint now with the staff team that's looking at TLD universal acceptance. And I'm happy that Nadia can join us, and perhaps Nadia can give us a little bit update on that.
Thank you, Edwin. So we have a planned session for Wednesday, and we will focus on clarifying what we mean when we talk about universal acceptance. And we appreciate Jake putting together the report. You have you raise very good questions and include relevant considerations. Our session that is going to take place on Wednesday focuses on the technical aspect of universal acceptance. Some software implemented on the internet imposes some constraints for domains, and this equally applies to ASCII TLDs and IDNs as well. Based on what we've observed, certain techniques like domain validation checks based on the TLD lens or fixed list of TLDs results in many valid TLDs that are currently in the root zone to be deemed as invalid just because of the way the checks are being performed. So I think the comment made by ALAC in response to the JIG report is very true. While there is some technical work that can be done on this issue, it is more of an awareness of making sure that everyone from TLD registry operator to software developer and ultimately to end user accepts the diverse and dynamic internet's DNS. So the session that we have on Wednesday is scheduled as a discussion. We would like to invite everyone to simply talk about the current issues. We have current TLD registry operators who will be present there, and they will share their experiences. So we'd like to collect feedback and see what and how, in more clear and specific ways, when we talk about organizations ICANN should work with, areas ICANN should prioritize on, what exactly can be done to ensure universal acceptance of all domains. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Nadia. I guess at this point, I wonder if anyone has any questions on where the jig is on the issue, and perhaps any questions for Nadia on the topic. Chuck?
Maybe I should comment a little bit on the registry comments, because we weren't really clear on what the jig was looking for in response to that. There was an awful lot in there. There were a whole bunch of questions. It wasn't clear whether you wanted us to answer the questions or to say, yeah, they're the right questions to be answered. And that's why we ended up suggesting, you know, maybe if a simple conversion of what you're looking for was put into a simple survey, not a formal, elaborate survey, it might be easier to respond. Now, there's not too much time left in the comment period, but maybe even for the sake of us here now, maybe some of you can explain what you were really looking for comments.
Thank you, Chuck. I think it's all of the above. In fact, you know, we wanted to ask, because it was very difficult. We went into to the discussion, and we found it more easier to raise questions than to answer them. So it's both whether these are the right questions and you know, what you might think about possible answers, because we did try at one point to jump to some you know, suggested answers to it, but we felt that was also at the point where we felt that we needed to expand the participation. That's when I guess Avery suggested at that time that we need more active volunteers to try to answer some of those questions. So when this document went out, I think the intent was to ask whether these are the right questions, as well as, you know, if you have ideas on how to answer them.
Thanks, Edwin. Chuck Gomes again. I don't think that what you just said was in the document, though, and that would have been really helpful. And in fact, for the when's the comment period in?
March 23rd.
Okay, so there's not very much time left, but it would probably be helpful if that was stated to get comment. Now, it's also a very busy time for people to respond to such a all-encompassing document. I think I can say safely for the registries, although that, you know, we're supportive of everything the group's doing, and we certainly, of all people, recognize the need. So.
Avery?
Thank you, Avery. That brings up a thought. Perhaps if there hasn't been enough time, if we didn't put the call out with the right clues, perhaps this is one of those times when extending a comment period and reinforcing it with the extra comments might not be worth considering.
Thank you, Avery. And we did extend it already, but I think it is worth, you know, I think the feedback Chuck just gave is very useful. We probably in the write up on the description page probably should include the part where, you know, this is exactly what we're looking for. But that being said, I wonder whether it's an open question, but I was wondering whether it's even better if we close this round. We don't try to jump to a final report first. We tweak what we have and either, you know, perhaps look into a potential survey kind of thing and produce that type of thing before we just, you know, continue extending the public comment period. So that's Chuck?
I think you have a good point there. And if you do decide to go that route, anything you can do to simplify the document so that it's easier for people to respond, frankly, you're asking for a lot there, and it's all stuff you should be asking for. But it's kind of intimidating for groups that are all very busy and do that. So anything you can do, and that's why we made this one suggestion that may not be the right way to go, but anything that can be done to simplify groups that will respond or individuals that will respond would really help. So I kind of like that. I like that idea, especially if you do some tweaking to it and make it easier for people to respond to.
Yeah. Thank you, Chuck. And so I guess before we leave off this topic, I think it's important. One of the things that in our last conference call we did touch on is exactly what Chuck you just said, is that we might need to chunk it up a little bit as well. But more important, I wanted to go to Nadia, or sorry for putting you on the table, perhaps, is to get an understanding of what staff is already planning or working on. There are some surveys, I think, that has been done or is being planned. So, if we have a little bit more information there, right now, one of the things is to directly ask the question, what are you guys planning on, and what do you think we can do on our side to support that?
You have a lot of good questions there as well. The session that we plan to have on Wednesday is designed to specifically do that, to discuss. So as you know, and you included a little bit of historic overview of what has been done in the past, this effort has been ongoing, and many advisory committees and ICANN already contributed to it with the publishing of ASSAC paper back in 2003, the publishing of RFC in 2004, and the work ICANN has done. As of right now, we have contacted the current TLD registry operators just to get them on board with properly assessing the situation and scheduling this session to discuss what needs to be done and what is best to do. We are developing several informational materials, but I think input from the community is essential in better prioritizing. Chuck pointed out, you have a very good report that you put together, and there are a lot of questions. So we would like to consider and discuss all of these things, but in order to be effective, we need to prioritize and probably set more specific goals. So if we are looking into working together with ICANN community or ICANN stakeholders, we need to be a little bit more specific and properly targeting the right people, as we can all discuss and realize what needs to be done. But unless the people who are in power to make a change are informed and are on board, we're probably not going to be able to move too far. So that's where we are.
Agreed. Ram, you wanted to add?
Thank you. this is specifically about the acceptance issue. I guess my... and I'll say some of this in the panel, Nadia. But I'm wondering if acceptance at the DNS level is really a problem anymore, and whether the real problem is at the application level, where I'm not certain how much influence or weight ICANN has, certainly has no control in that area. The one area that I'm really curious about is, ICANN is going to conduct a workshop, a panel, pull several of us and solicit inputs from the community. JIG has a report on acceptance and some ideas on what to do about it. But what seems to be at least not clear to me, should I use the word murky, is that it's... very uncertain about what role ICANN itself can play. I mean, there's a little bit of coordination, perhaps, but the players who need to be involved, it feels to me, are not at the table or not involved here. And, you know, so that's kind of my concern overall. You know, even in JIG puts a report out, but I fear that it's, you know, a tree falling in the woods.
Thank you, Ram. Actually, in our discussion, we did identify a few things that ICANN can do, at least potentially. One of them, I'll just click back to the slide. One of them, that there are potentially policy that ICANN can implement. For example, we identified at least two. One is that at least for new IDN TLDs, for them themselves, their own systems to accept a universal acceptance. For example, in contact information, in name servers, you know, because that is not in the new GTLD program, for example. That in itself might be, you know, at least one thing that ICANN can do directly to promote universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. So. And the other aspect is a budgeting aspect to, you know, think about this as an ongoing project. So in terms of what ICANN can do directly, at least this sort of went out for a public comment, and these are two items that we've identified that ICANN perhaps can directly do. But you wanted to respond? No. Okay, so but there are a number of other things that we try to. But the first question I just want to quickly answer to Ram's question is the first question was that when the group looked into the issue of universal acceptance is what can ICANN do anyway? It was the main question, and that was the motivation behind what has been produced and you know and identified as possible areas.
Yeah, and thank you for that. I do recognize it, and I didn't mean to say that. I understand the background of it. I'm trying to push a little bit further in this and say, yes, some of the recommendations from the JIG are immediately implementable and can be made to happen, right? Acceptance in name servers, certainly forms, things like that ICANN has control over, right? But almost all the rest of it is in the area of persuasion and influencing. Right, and I think perhaps that's where ICANN needs more help and more advice, you know, from us as a community to say, do this, not that, and perhaps the workshop will be helpful there. But the underpinning thing is that it's ICANN is one little tiny knob anymore. It used to be much bigger, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, relative to acceptance of TLDs.
Thank you, Ram. I guess with that, Chuck.
Just two things. Number one, and Ram will recognize this better than anybody. The point you're raising and the questions you're asking were the same ones in the first round. Just a little historical perspective. One other point from one of our participants in the registry stakeholder group, and I understand that this is an IDN working group, but the bottom line is this issue isn't restricted to IDNs. So,
right. Just on that point, Chuck, this issue was only a GTLD issue when it's not an IDN, but it became an issue of common interest between the CCNSO and the GNSO because of IDNs, and that's the reason why we're talking about it here.
But you may want to have just point that out in when you get to your final report. Yeah. Just make it clear.
Yeah. Okay. So we did identify a number of items. I hope we get a little bit more response, but I think it's important that we take that the current response back, and we probably need to chunk it up a little bit better so that the community can provide more specific response to some of the things, because right now it does seem like, you know, it's a bit broad. So in view of time, I'll be moving on to the next topic, and that's the single character IDN TLDs. I think we went through a process and produced a report on it. The board acted on the issue as well, made a resolution, and when we and then the JIG also prepared a response to that board resolution. It was first drafted by the JIG, and then it was refined and redrafted by the CCNSO Council. It was eventually adopted by both the GNSO Council and the CCNSO Council, and urging the basically sent a letter to the board urging a clearer roadmap. Since then, there has actually about the same time the ESSAC came out with the report. I guess it's part of the part of the action as a result of the board resolution. Reconfirmed that some of the processes needs to be updated. I very briefly summarize the ESSAC report in this slide, but I wouldn't go through it because I was hoping that and I'm happy that Patrick can join us today and perhaps talk a little bit about it.
Yeah, we have actually slides that Steve is trying to get displayed, which I hope will work. Steve, it seems that Edmund has the connection to the projector. Is everything okay? Okay, cool. Thanks. So what happened was that ESSAC, ALAC, and GAC got questions from the board on what issues we saw with one-character TLDs. So we went away to look at things more in detail based on the JIG report. So some background. There, we, of course, are aware of the discussions that have been going on over here, but we also have to remember that so far TLDs have consisted of two more characters, GTDs three or more, and CCTLDs two. The question, blah, 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 you know this. Next slide, please. So the findings that we have has to do with specifically confusability. And one of the issues with confusability in the ICANN context is that we specifically, if you look at the rules for the TLDs, IDN TLDs from the IDN CCTLD fast track, we do allow more confusability for one of the code points if the other code point is distinct. And this implies that depending on the context, we do allow more confusion than if it is the case that you have we do allow some confusion for individual characters if it is the case that we have more context, which makes it easier for individuals to, for example, know what script we're talking about. So the first finding in the report has to do with lower amount of context, higher amount of confusability. The second finding is that we do not see any other kind of problems apart from the confusability, which means that in the domain name system, etc., of course, one character TLDs works as well as others. Specifically, if they're IDN TLDs, it's actually represented as an A label that it has more than one ASCII character. So that's no problem. It's also the case that the third finding that we have is that there is quite a lot of discussions regarding string similarity and confusability and the algorithms around that that is ongoing inside ICANN. And because of that, we also, that is also another and also variance, of course, the variance work. So that's also additional arguments to urge ICANN to be careful. Next slide, please. So what we do is that we recommend a very conservative approach to delegation of single character TLDs. And we do recommend that by default, delegation of single character IDN TLDs is disallowed. And this is one of the things that currently, that there has been some issue in the IDN CC TLD fast track, where the default is non-confusability and confusability is to be proven, or the other way around. Because when you discuss confusability or TLDs or strings in general, you have the clear cases which are no problem at all, you have the clear cases which absolutely are problematic, and then you have a larger gray area. And the question is, where are the boundaries between the clear cases and the gray area, and how wide is the gray area? One thing that we did look at very carefully, and we really went through all different kind of metadata that exist around Unicode characters, like the class, the script, whatever, and we could not find any one of those that could be used to algorithmically say what one character strings are okay. So our first approach was to try to see whether we could come up with some kind of simple rule to say what one characters are safe, or like there are things that are absolutely safe. But the conclusion of that that exercise was that is not possible. Go back. The other thing we were looking at that we also were thinking to start with, that, for example, I talked to some of you about at the previous meeting, was that maybe it is the case that it's possible to find some scripts, which is one of those variables, and say every code point in Unicode in this script is safe for one character. And then we sort of asked around and asked people, and even they said, well, wait a second, we don't talk about confusability only within the script, but also across scripts. So when we looked at the various scripts that could confuse confusability, or what pairs of scripts do have one or more code points or zero that might be confusing to each other, is there a well-known sort of academia that you can reference that say what groups of scripts do have overlapping problems, like Latin, Greek, Cyrillic, or the other groups? Yes, we found other groups. So it's not only Latin. For example, no, not only us. It was actually the VIP work that we referenced in the report that found another group. So one of the things that we urge that we are nervous about is that there are other groups of scripts that are unknown. We simply don't know what pairs of scripts are safe or not. On the other hand, we do recognize that absolutely the need of one character TLDs exist. Absolutely. But what is needed is that someone writes down an algorithm that can be used to decide whether an applied for string is safe or not, that everyone agrees to. And I'm not talking about whether people agree on so much whether something is confusing, but that people must agree that the algorithm is correct. Because my interpretation of what is going on, for example, regarding IDN CCTLD fast track, is that people are arguing about what the algorithm actually is. Even though we have one clarification that has been made, it is still the case that people disagree, sort of, not only are these two glyphs confusing or not, it's like, no, that is not how you should evaluate. And that's not a very fun situation. I'm just looking around for the people that I know that is involved in that discussion. Yes. Okay, the last thing I wanted to mention regarding, let's see if I remember the last thing. Oh, yes. Another thing that came up was this report from the Internet Architecture Board regarding M-class characters. One thing that, when thinking about the M-star character case, we understood that, wait a second, the question was about one character, and one character is actually a little bit too undefined when we talk about a real algorithm here, because one character can, if you normally, when people talk about character in these contexts, we talk about one glyph as it is sort of displayed for the user. That might be more than one Unicode code point, which means that even the question to ESSAC was not clearly defined enough. So was the question about single Unicode code points, TLDs, or single characters, etc.? And that made us also be a little bit nervous. Yeah. And you're sitting here jumping, I understand, I'm sorry. Yeah. And I'm probably using taxonomy that makes like Chris shiver. We have decided to sit down 1.5 hour on Wednesday to try to sort some of these things out. Okay, so but what we do point out then is, and what we had a briefing with the board Sunday, is that work on trying to resolve this because of the need must start immediately to resolve this issue, and also that the first of all that this recommendation should be reviewed every year, and probably we have something to say, etc. Blah blah. The rest you know. Thanks.
Thank you, Patrick. I wonder if anyone has questions, but I was wondering a couple things. I just want to observe that, you know, the JIG actually discussed pretty much all of the issues that you brought up. So a couple of things. One is that the JIG actually took the viewpoint that we do understand that string similarity and those type of issues are still outstanding, but we felt that it was out of scope of the JIG to work on it, and we felt that the core finding, however, was that particular argument would be exactly the same for more than one character, because if you try to compare a two character string, you would still have, you know, those issues would still exist. And the second point was that the JIG actually identified a way sort of to define what we meant by a single character that was taking the earlier work on IDNs and formed part of the recommendation. So I was wondering if ESSAC felt that was inadequate, and why that was the case.
I think the general difference between what, as you say, the actual findings are not very different from the JIG report and what ESSAC wrote. I think the difference is that the difference has to do with how the calculation of risk to make the wrong decision, and what happens if it is the case that you actually allocate something or make a decision of something that later is discovered not to work. I think that is the main difference. Oh, let me answer. The first question, though, is something where ESSAC absolutely saw a difference, which is that confusability for two characters, just like it is written out in the guidelines with IDNC CTLD fast track, it is, if you have two characters, it is enough if one of them is distinct, then you can accept higher degree of confusability for the other one of the two code points. So two string TLDs can be very confusing in one of the code points if the other one is distinct. And that's why there is a difference between two characters and one character TLDs.
But if you reserve all single character strings, it also means that two character strings or three character strings need to compare with single character string to make sure it doesn't conflict with a reserved name, in a sense, right?
No, I don't remember that part of the applicant guidebook from the top of my head. I'm looking at people that know that a little bit better. But the comparison, there is no comparison for non-allocated TLDs except for the two-letter ASCII that might end up in the ISO 3166. Otherwise, there is no comparison for confusability.
It does say that it cannot be similar to single character strings in any script.
In that case, you know the better than I. In that case, I should absolutely, absolutely not try to answer your question.
Anyway, so I wonder if there are any other.
But my point is, once again, back to it seems that I might explain myself not clear enough, because it seems to be the case that you don't understand really, or I cannot really express this thing with the context, because if you have a two-character string that can include one character that is confusingly similar with another character just because the other one is distinct, but that confusing character cannot exist in a TLD because it doesn't have any context. So a character that is acceptable in a two-character TLD might not be acceptable in a one-character TLD. Does that make things more clear? Okay, Avery says right. No, it's not more clear.
I guess I have the problem. I mean, I could see certain cases where in alphabetic, something like that, yeah, may be the case. When you're talking about non-alphabetic scripts, you're talking about languages where people actually do have words that are one character, and they are able to clearly distinguish those without context, without a second letter or a second character. And so I'm actually curious, and I have not read the report clearly enough, on the methodology of this test and the scope of this context testing that you've done that sort of allows you to make a blanket statement that says, in all cases, single character does not have enough context to be differentiable.
We have found enough cases, because this is once again the problem of what should be proven when you allocate a TLD. This is the overall meta issue, which means that it doesn't have to do with whether something is confusing or not. The question is, should confusability be proven, or should non-confusability be proven? That seems to be what we really are discussing here.
And Chris.
Well, I think that different people are confused by different things. If I were a scammer, if I was some sort of gamer, I think one thing I might do would be to, apply for something with really large Chinese characters. And, these are characters with more than 50 strokes. Some of them have more than 80 strokes. And the problem is that they get to a certain critical mass, and in a browser address bar, they just, you just can't see, because some of those address bars are really quite small. So yes, so what I'm saying is I can see that side of it. But another sort of confusability would actually be the sort of needle in the haystack style confusability, and this would be actually a very long GTLD. And so again, if I were that gamer, I think what I might do would be apply for something, say, in a language like Turkish, where Turkish has got the letter I, as in English, but it also has another I, which doesn't have a dot. So what you could do is actually apply for a Turkish TLD, which, it looked really like some English word, perhaps, but then actually it has this I without the dot in it. It's extremely easy to miss. So what I'm saying is that sometimes you read what you want to read, and you will lose that Turkish dot in the haystack. So that is another sort of confusability, but the interesting thing is that sort of confusability is actually opposite, because it depends on length.
I guess when Patrick mentioned that multiple characters that might give a better context is needed to determine that, and that's part of it. Chuck?
Were you finished? Okay, yeah. Well, thanks, Patrick. First of all, the context argument made sense to me. I got that, and I'm a little slow on a lot of these things, but I think I got that. That helps. I heard you say two things, I think, on algorithms. In the one case, you came to the conclusion that there is you can't come up with an algorithm, and then later you said we need to find an algorithm. So I'm trying to did you mean, in the latter case, did you mean more rather than an automatic algorithm, like, for example, we have in the guidebook for just the initial visual similarity review, or did you mean a set of criteria that would be used to test for confusability?
A very good question. In the first case, I was thinking more of a mathematical algorithm like in the IDNA 2008 standard that say exactly what code points are allowed or not. In the second statement of algorithm, I was talking more about the explicit sort of rules that is the clarification for the two-character ID on CCD fast track, for example, that is in the guidebook. So I talk about the second. And I hear a lot of proposals here. So what we in ASAC saw is that someone needs to write down what kind of evaluations are to be done. So like write that down. And that's also what the board was talking about Sunday when we met them and had exactly the same kind of discussion.
Okay, thank you, Patrick. And I guess we'll consider whether the group would take on next steps. One thing I did, I think that became clear today, is that we need to respond and to alert the board on at least one thing. Because if the based on the SSAC report, it also means that comparing similarity with single characters would be an issue, and that could be an issue at the current applicant guidebook as well. So we might want to. We want to look into raising that to perhaps to the board.
Can I come with a personal recommendation? So personally, I think you should think about writing down what kind of criteria you think would be needed to allow the really clear cases which absolutely are safe and not create any problem whatsoever with any kind of tinfoil character person in the world. Because I think the board and ESSAC and everyone else would absolutely accept if it is the case that you come up with some specification of crystal clear cases and then we can look at how we sort of might in the future open up for things that are closer to the gray area. But start to focus on what cases are the crystal clear ones. I think that helps.
Okay. Thank you. I think that's useful. Chuck. We are running out of time. But
okay, I'll be real quick. But it seems to me that the clock's running out in doing that task. Because
future rounds, I mean.
I mean for the first round. We're almost past the time when that might be very hard to do. But that's my only comment. So I understand. We got plenty of time for the second round, at least in the GTLD. So.
Okay, so I guess, thank you, Chuck, and with that I'll move on to our last topic, which is the IDN VIP project plan and how this group can continue to interact with Dennis's VIP team.
Yes, thank you. Dennis Jennings here for the record. As we're running out of time, let me first say that the session that you need to go to is at 9 o'clock on Wednesday, where we actually present the integrated issues report and the next steps plan. So if there's one message I get across in the few minutes that are available, it is that we have a 1.5-hour session on Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, and we strongly urge you that to attend that because we need feedback from the community. We have a slide deck, but it takes at least 15 minutes to canter through it at a great rate. So I'd like to bring up one slide, which is, before we put up the project plan, if you could identify the slide, that's the status slide that shows the two phases that we have completed, just to set the context. So that's a diagram.
Sorry, we don't have the completed ones. We have the next phases in this deck.
Okay, well then let me just verbalize.
Just talk about them, please.
Let me just verbalize. Just to put everybody, to remind everybody that in Dakar, we reported on phase one of the variant issues project, which is the case studies, the six case studies, and we presented those to the community. And we also started phase two, which was the phase to produce an integrated issues report, which I'm happy to say we managed to publish just before Christmas with a tremendous amount of effort from the team and great support from a selection of the case study teams who provided an advisory committee to the ICANN team to get that report out. That report was published for public comment. We didn't get many comments. Whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, it's very hard to evaluate. And we published, the team published the final report some time ago. And in that report, there were a number of next steps identified, which are there for people to look at. Subsequently, we've published a proposed project plan for the next steps, and that is out for comment. I think that public comment closes at the end of this week, which may or may not be enough time for anybody to comment on it, and therefore there is an issue there. But we are genuinely and seriously looking for feedback from the community on those proposed next steps. Are they the right steps? Are they in the right sequence? Is the right emphasis? And so on. And when looking at those next steps, it's important that you read the report, because there's a lot of context in the report that helps to explain what the next steps are. It's also important that you have read the report if you're intending to come to the session, because the presentation doesn't do great justice to this short presentation of the next step. So there is the timeline up on the screen now. I hope that's available to people remotely as well, on the projects that we're proposing and the initial proposed sequence, and obviously we're looking for feedback on that. These next steps, if they're agreed by the community, and more importantly, they're approved by the Board Variant Working Group and the Board, who oversee this project through the Board Variant Working Group, will be community-driven projects. In the current plan, they extend over a fairly lengthy period of time, and the only comment I'll make about that is that these are pretty damn complex issues, and we're not going to have solutions to these issues and implementable proposals without a significant amount of additional work. So, having said that, and it now being 3 minutes to the hour, and we have a meeting in 3 minutes, this team has a meeting in 3 minutes, may I remind you that the session is at 9 o'clock on Wednesday in La Paz A. I'll take questions. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Dennis. Yes, we have 3 minutes left, and I actually have to move to that meeting as well. But, Chris, please.
You must forgive me if I've missed something in it, but it's some time since I read the plan in detail, and I didn't notice anything about the topic we were just talking about, actually, the single character TLDs. I mean, are any of those plans actually covering that sort of area? Presuming we still have the problem when it starts up. I mean, perhaps I should be more optimistic and think that the problem may have gone away.
It wasn't in the charter.
We will certainly be studying the question of variants of single characters. The question whether single character TLDs are to be delegated or not is a different question, which we are not explicitly addressing in the project. I suppose we're presuming that that question will be addressed before we come up with solutions on the how to identify the variants and so on.
May I quickly add, the single characters and variants are interrelated, but they're not exactly the same. And single character is not in the charter currently, you know, of the variant issues project.
Thank you, Ram. And Naila?
So thank you for making that clarification, Ram. And but related to what Chris said, we have one of the proposed projects related to the topic we just discussed is Project 4.1, which is the visual similarity process enhancement. It is something that can, again, it is not in the charter of what variants are, but at some point in the report, we had to accept that visual similarity is something that people refer to in the context of variants. So we put it in the taxonomy of variants as one type that people talk about. And we are certainly interested in improving that process. As staff work on the fast track, this is a very personal interest of mine as well.
Thank you, Naila. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I think, you know, we did really, one of the things that I want to add is that it's seeming to me that at least a lot of these issues which we think are independent are really interrelated, more and more so, and especially from the ESSAC report on single characters, identifying three issues that needs to be resolved before single character, at least, you know, that's the recommendation, before single character TLDs are considered. So there are interrelations, I think, and there are more and more we need to look at them together. Since we have run out of time, and thank you everyone for joining the JIG session here, we will continue the biweekly calls after this meeting, and take on these issues and think about the next steps, especially with the input that we've gotten today. So, thank you, everyone.